Let me welcome up our brother Jay, who again is going to talk to us a little bit about authority here this morning from chapter 5 of the Titus 10. So let me welcome him and let's open up in prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to gather, to dive into your word and its application for our lives, Lord. And I give thanks for our brother and elder Jay for all the time that he's put into preparing for this morning, Lord. And I know that you have been with him in that process and that you have guided him in what you want him to share with us this morning and the application of that word, Lord. Lord, I help and pray that you be with him this morning, guide and direct his presentation and the words, and may they impact the men here. May you guide the conversations at the tables here this morning and just bless all of us here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Morning, men.
Morning.
How are you all doing? Good?
Yeah.
All right, let me see this. No, it's the other one. It's the other one. Okay, I got it. Okay. Today, I'm Jay Santiago. I have the honor to be one of the elders here, and really that's I'd say that from a position of humility if in terms of being challenged. And when you get an assignment, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, it's important to understand sometimes you say, well, you're not qualified. God will tell you, yeah, you're right. You're not qualified. That's what I'm there for. So thank you. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you. Subtitles will be provided upon request. Tom, there's for you from that perspective. Online, everybody. But before we get started, I think it's important for us to do a little review because of the framework that we've been operating with. We have people here that just come in here for the first time, and why are we talking about Titus 10 and what is this? I think it's important. After Jack, our brother Jack, set the table up and really told all the people that are teaching here, share your heart, not the book. Share your heart, and hopefully I'll be able to do that with you today. He said, brother Richard came up here and he talked about dominions, right? And we talked about different dominions that are for us. You know, our flesh, the church, the family, and the community, right? And this is all intention, you know, in the framework of Genesis 2 from the beginning, Genesis 2, and then the fall in Genesis 3, right? Understanding that that's where we are, and that God always had an intention for us to be able to have domain over these areas. But there was a distortion that the enemy does that has been with us since the beginning, right? And understanding that, this is why the next week we had Brother Nate come up and talk about the gospel. Why the gospel? Because the gospel is foundational to everything we do here. You know, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, that relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden, God was already planning on how to restore that throughout his timeline. So if we don't have the gospel, this is nothing more than a self-help program. And we're not about self-help here. We're about for him, right, from that perspective. So if you don't know Christ, today is the day. Today is the day you stand up and say, I'm giving him and surrendering my life. And it's not about just believing, but it's also about surrendering. So that's what's important about why we talk about in that framework in terms of the dominions. Then and then the gospel. Then brother Harry talked to us about identity. And this is something that as men we struggle with, because we confuse what we do with who we are. Especially people in the military, after spending 20 or 30 years, when you take off that uniform, when you take up that duty, you're struggling with what you identify with what you're doing as opposed to who you are. But if you have the gospel and the good news, you understand that you have a new identity in Christ, that you belong to him, that you can call, that we can call ourselves son of God, childs of the Most High God, that we can call ourselves heirs to the promises that we're giving, that we can walk with certainty of who we are and not what we do. And then Brother George Lair talked to us about assignments, and then what we do are this assignment, and those things are temporary in nature, and everybody has an assignment, right? Everybody has an assignment. Right, and sometimes you feel that you don't have the capacity or the capability to do that, but that's okay because that leaves room for God to show himself through your assignment. What are your assignments? A husband, a father, right, in terms of the family. How about the church There's plenty of assignments around here. If you haven't seen our children's ministries, it's 600 kids over there that need mentorship. They need men like you to show what a man is supposed to do. Right? And I was talking to Dave about that, how rewarding that is. Just pour your life into somebody else. Now, who you are is permanent, and who you are and what you do is temporary. Even the things that we love the most, like I love being married to my wife, right? But that's going to be temporary. And just to quote George, when you were doing a celebration of life for Leslie, it said, basically said, at least the best that we can do is that when we go up to heaven, it's ask for our mansion to be right next to hers, right? But understanding that with that in mind. Now, with that in mind, now we can talk about authority. But before we talk about authority, I'm getting my notes here. I think we need to talk about something that is insidious and you know, creeping up and particularly in society, right? And it's about passivity, you know, the passive attitude of men, right? You know, we are living in time where passivity of men in the home, in the church, and in the world is producing devastation, right? It's a fallout of abdicated responsibility, weak leadership, and spiritual silence is evident all around us. We just got to witness that several weeks ago when we saw a young woman, Irina Surskaya, and forgive me where she got essentially murdered, and everybody in Charlotte, and everybody around her was just standing around, right? We got to observe that. Now let's bring it closer to home, right? Why men are being passive? I've been guilty of this. Right? In the church, have you ever run into somebody that's sowing seeds of discord that is not promoting union within the church? Have we held them accountable? Have you looked at a brother that's about to commit sin or talking to you about in sin and held them accountable and interceded there and make that life? How about at home? You know, when you walk through the door and you say, honey, how's it going? And what's going on? And she says, nothing. Yeah, because we know that when they say nothing, there's really something, okay? And you, instead of engaging and being intentional about the relationship, you just decided, so quick, I'm just going to go and put my face in my phone, in the YouTube, and doom scroll across the board as opposed to engaging. Guilty, right? The enemy uses this. You know, we are not called to be passive. We are called to take spiritual responsibility. And I'm guilty of this. I'll share with you that at home, one of the hardest things that I did, one of the things that had probably the most devastating consequence that brought my marriage almost to the point of destruction was when early on when I was walking with God, when there was unconfessed sin between me and my wife. And I let the enemy use that as a wedge between us and the intimacy that's supposed to happen within marriage. To the point that we were in a room looking at each other, talking about divorce and talking about walking away from each other. The good thing about it is that we're not quitters. That we were not going to give that. And thanks to a loving church, brothers and sisters are coming around us to encourage us in our walk. We were not only able to surpass that, but to conquer that. And there was a brother that was actually telling me, "Hey, you need to confess. Unconfessed sin is a devil's foothold. So if you have unconfessed sin in your life, let that not be. You are authorized to walk, to have dominion over your flesh, and we can talk about that." But at the end of the day, passivity is sin. Because the Bible says, if you know what you ought to do, it is what? Sin. If you know what you ought to do, if you have been called to do something and you're not doing it, it is not just idleness. It is, you're just walking away from the responsibility. That's sin. So there's sins of commission and sins of commission from that perspective. So understanding that, as men, you know, it is time to wake up from spiritual laziness, to repent from passivity, to armor for battle, to lead the courage and the banner for Christ, right? This is why we need to understand that we are in a war, but we need to equip ourselves. We need to pick up the armor of God. And every one of those require an action from us. You pick up the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sword of truth. And they are heavy and they take a toll, but that's why we're men and we're called to do this, right? We are armed and we can be victorious, because if he's for us, then who can be against us, right? These are the promises. And this is why, now that you know your identity in Christ, now that you know that you have an assignment, how do you walk? What authority do you have to walk in this assignment that God has given you, in this time and in season in life, right? And it's important, right? From our perspective, authority is our ability to be able to operate within our community, right? And biblical authority is given from God. And I just have a couple of notes here. I could have written like 20 of these things in terms of authority, in terms of how we can move and why we need to be empowered by the Word and the Spirit to be able to do what we're supposed to do in whatever season of life you're in. Number one, let's recognize that not everybody has authority, and it must be given, okay? Authority is not seized or self-appointed in God's kingdom. It is delegated by God. In Romans 13:1, it says, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God, okay? In John 3:27, it said, a person cannot receive one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. The key point here is that spiritual and positional authority must be entrusted, not taken, and recognized from that perspective. Next thing I'll talk to you about, not everyone recognizes authority. Imagine that. Imagine that. Many people reject or resist authority, right? Especially godly authority, because it confronts pride and sin and autonomy and self-reliance, and is not of this world, right? In John 1:1 says, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Matthew 21:23 says, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? The key point that even Jesus, okay, Son of God, came here to redeem us. The main point of the gospel, people did not recognize his authorities, okay? The other thing, authority is often misused and abused. Imagine that. Just like there's a crisis of passivity, men not standing up, doing what they're supposed to be, there is the other side of being a tyrant. And I confess, I've been there too. There's one thing that triggers me above all things, and my kids know this, especially my two young men. They went to West Point, that little college up in New York. I didn't go. I married their mom, and the gene pool improved from that perspective, University of Puerto Rico, they went to West Point, right? TW, you know them. But, they came back from the military, and they come into the house. It's like, I'm the big guy here. It's like, okay? And they spoke to their mom to the point that I had to grab one of them by the swimming tackle and say, hey, who makes you think? Do you know of a man that is alive that could walk into my household and speak to my wife the way you're speaking to her? My wife had to peel me off from him. Now, I confess that what I was saying was not wrong, but how was I delivering? That was wrong. Okay, and I confessed to my kids about it, and say, you know what? I'm not backing off from what I told you, because there's not a man alive that can talk to my wife in a way that you talk to them, to her, and not meet me full force, right? So they got the message. They got the message, but authority can be misabused, right? Saul, we saw examples of this, of Saul and the Pharisees. And we even saw examples of David. David, when men are supposed to go to war, where was David? Back home, and he got in trouble, right? And if you notice, most of the time when David got in trouble, early in his life, he was always asking God before he moved out. He prayed up before he moved out, right? And this is the problem, because the other piece of it, when we're man of action, we're moving. I'm talking to a room of AAA personalities here, right? From that perspective, we move out before we pray up, right? And sometimes we're not walking in discernment of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, and back in an encouragement from the brothers to keep us in check. So there's the passivity side of something, and there's a tyrannical side. We need to walk We need to walk in line with what God's will is. All right? Authority is stewardship, not a license for control or self-interest. Right? Now, number four, spiritual authority is recognized by spiritual discernment. Those walking with God often sense true authority when it's not institutionally acknowledged. Let's see. In Luke 4:33, it said, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. They might not agree with Jesus, but they knew that there was something different about this guy, right? When you're walking with the scriptures and the spirit, and where everything is running around all over you, and you are not reacting like everything else, you don't sound like Fox or CNN or everybody else, that you are grounded in scripture and the fact that Jehovah Jireh is always the provider and the protector, and you're making yourself the light of the world, like Greg talked about this weekend at church. He did a magnificent job of that. Be the light of the world and you're the salt of the world. People recognize that. They got to go to you and say, what is different about you than when everything is going to hell in a handbasket? You're walking differently, right? You're walking differently. Number five, authority is best expressed through service and sacrifice. And Jesus redefined authority as a servant leadership, not dominance. Okay? The I'm in charge, okay? Pick up the bucket, okay? Sweep. Mark 10:42 says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. The key point is the kingdom authority is marked by humility, sacrifice, and love. Number six, you can be in authority and still be under authority. The great example of this is Jesus himself. He said, I don't do what the Father doesn't. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. The other one was the centurion. He said, no, you don't have to come. I know what authority is. You just say the word and I'll get a bit done. Because I'm a man who under authority understands that authority. I tell people go and they go, and I tell people come and they come. So you just say, be healed, and they be healed. And Jesus says, there's no other greater faith that I've ever seen ever. You don't have to touch me. I don't have to touch them. You know, I just got to say the word and recognizing the authority. Are we walking in authority today? Are we walking with that same faith, understanding that we walk under authority of God and that we have empowered to do every one of our assignments by him and his power, not ours, his power. Number seven, rebellion against God's authority has consequences. Okay, ignoring and rejecting divine authority leads to judgment and chaos. In Romans 1:21-22, it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Okay? There are things in scripture, when you read it, that are very specific that we're not ought to do. And others, discernment is associated with it. Right? There's room in some cases. In other rooms, there's not cases. Okay? Honor God. You know, Ten Commandments is a pretty good thing, right? The first four, relationship with God. The last six, relationship with each other. No stealing, no lying, no murdering, no kind of, and we understand. There's no option of that. Right? It's a good start. Right? But understanding that if we rebel, there will be a consequence. We reap what we sow. Okay? Now, true authority. Now my notes went off. Okay. I apologize. All right, I was on a roll here. Get some butter. All right. Well, you can be in rebellion. True authority aligns with the word of God. Okay? So if you know what you have to do and you don't do it, it is sin. We know that. Scripture tells us that. If you know what you do it and how you do it, you can be guided by the Holy Spirit and by Scripture. Okay? And also, how does that, we talked about Blackaby and how God speaks to you, right? How do you know you're doing the right thing? Well, we got brothers that keep us accountable. Be open to that accountability in your life. As you're exercising your authority over the over the things that God has given you dominion, starting with ourselves. You know, the first person you have to lead is who? You have to lead yourself before you leave others from that perspective, right? Now, you have an assignment. And you have the authority. Okay? We talked about assignments being temporary. Okay? If God has nudged you to say, you know what? If you are in the church and you are here, more than you are expected, there is an assignment for you here in this church to serve the body. You have gifts that are uniquely yours, and you are called to use those gifts for the betterment of the body, not to keep himself and hidden. So find out what that is. There's plenty of opportunities. We just talked about the women's tea. If you have the time available, come and honor the women and honor them and show and model to your kids or your youngins or your adult children of what it is a man that is serving and is under the authority of God. So what? What does it mean to you? Well, you exercise your authority over sin and Satan. We talked about that. Satan is not infinite, is not all-powerful, is not omniscient, sometimes we give him too much power what it is. We have the authority, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can refrain him and contain him and rebuke him out of our lives. And it starts with confessing your sin and making sure that your relationship with God is good to go, right? The next thing, you exercise your authority in leading. Start by leading yourself. Unconfessed sin, understanding where you stand with that. What are your gifts and talents? Where are you going to put those in? What assignment has it been given to you? Where am I going to serve? In my church, in my family, in my community, that I'm going to be an impact. I'm going to be the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Lastly, exercise your authority by protecting. We no longer can be passive. We are called to protect the things that God has entrusted us with in the assignment. And it's okay to stand up, right? We are not, we don't need to be taking selfies about the situation. We need to, if we have the power and the ability to stop something, we are able to do that. If we are able to prevent a brother from going into further sin with loving care, there's a framework by which you bring people into accountability. If we see that somebody's talking, sowing seeds of discord within the church, lovingly we can intercede with them and say, hey, that is not building up the brother or the church or the body. Right? If we see people struggling, we can go and protect that family that needs at this particular time the ability for somebody to come alongside them and lift them up and encourage them. That's what we're to do here. So with that in mind, what is man? If you don't know what you need to do, just start by what Scripture talks about. It says, in Micah 6, it says, what is that required of you, O man? It said, to love justice, do kindly, and walk humbly before your God. If you just start with that is a great start. And so what if you haven't done enough today? Well, you know what? Yesterday ended last night. And you don't need to be condemned by anything of the past, but you can be convicted to act on what God has already revealed through you, through his word and through his spirit. So go out and lead and act in authority. You are authorized. Cool. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the ability to come here today and be able to see what you talk about authority. I pray, Father, for these men. I pray, Father, for their lives. I pray for their families, and their children and their children's children. I lift them up to you, Father. I ask a hedge of protection in their lives. I ask, Father, that you empower them and make them see clearly that you have given them domain over certain things. Father, may they do that not for them, but for your glory. And that the lives that they touch be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray this in the most powerful name that I know. In the name of Jesus, amen.